Good afternoon. This is the Shairana Show with your host Zain Al-Amin. This is a show that focuses on Arab culture and politics, and it airs every Wednesday for 1 hour at WPFWFM.org and WBAI-FM.
Why did I choose to be here? As I record this, there's a drone sound that is every day, all day, above me. Why do you choose to stay with that drone sound above your head and make videos from the capital of Lebanon? Well, first of all, because this has always been the case. My parents and my grandparents and everyone in Lebanon, from every religion, from every sect, from every political view, we've all practiced displacement. We've all experienced losing a loved one. We've all seen Israeli bombs kill our people. In the 40s, it happened. In the 50s, it happened. In the 60s, it happened. In the 70s, it happened. In the 80s. And you know, when I do something very normal, like washing a dish, I think of all the people who are just like me, who cannot do that in their home now, of all the people who couldn't eat today, who are too proud to say that we have been forced out of our homes, we didn't have time to pack enough, and we lost our jobs abruptly. We are displaced in war. Why did I choose to be here? Because this is going to be the last round. I feel weak looking at the phone, because this phone can turn into a bomb. I feel weak sitting around my computers or my Wi-Fi routers. They managed. Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel managed to make everything a killing machine. We're staying here because we're going to report your defeat one more time. We've seen you defeated twice, and we're waiting for the third. Long live Lebanon, long live Palestine, long live Syria, long live Iraq, long live Yemen, long live every nation that says no to the oppressor.
Long live Lebanon, long live Palestine, long live the resistance, and down with the U.S. empire. We are a station that holds opinions that are uncensored, and we've been doing that for as long as this station has existed. And this is why this show, Shayunana, is asking you today to do us a favor and make a donation for the show to sustain it. As you know, all of our social media is being censored, and especially Meta, especially when it comes to the subject of Palestine or now Lebanon, as the United States government uses its air base and a military base called Israel to kill Palestinian and Lebanese citizens, to kill women and children and infants. This is being done by with the permission and the nod. I mean, there's the debate about who wags the dog. Is the tail wagging the dog or the dog wagging the tail? The reality is it's the United States. This is a genocide perpetrated by a mercenary army called Israel for the United States. The United States approves all of this. And as we'll hear later in the show, this is something that this ultimatum that Biden just gave is you don't know whether to laugh or cry, because this is the same ultimatum he's given since month one of the genocide. And this ultimatum that he's given to Israel while sending weaponry, while behind the scenes telling them continue killing children, women, babies, civilians, as much as you want, go for another month rather, and then by that time the election will be over. He's trying to win votes on that. This is the only station where you'll hear critique of that. This is a real public radio station that doesn't take money from corporations, doesn't take money from the military industrial complex, like certain public radio stations in the DMV area do. And this is a station that is consistent in terms of like how it has reported from the beginning of this genocide until now. I had left the Shayonana show because I was overwhelmed with my work schedule, but returned after a few weeks after the genocide had started, because how essential that, because of the essential information I needed to relay, as the US media did what it does usually, the New York Times, the Washington Post, NPR, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, all of those stations lied, passed on the lies that have been debunked about what's happening in Palestine, and justified this genocide and cheered this genocide, while WPFW provided the critique and exposed every lie and on weekly basis. If you do care for this kind of programming, and if you care about the only uncensored medium right now, which is radio, besides, you know, censoring profanity, there is no censorship here. If you care about those things, I would urge you now to go to the phones and dial 202-588-9739 and make a donation to the Shayonana show, so that we can keep giving you this truth, so we can keep sobering you up at election time when everybody is lying to you. The difference between the two major candidates is the quality of lies, not so much the quantity, but the quality of the lies. You know, and it's incredible. What a sign that the American empire is falling apart, when the two options that we have are the options that we have now. But fortunately, we do have a third party option right now. And the lesser evilism that has existed, this argument for lesser evilism, has brought us to where we have a president, Joe Biden, who's considered a lesser evil, along with his vice president, Kamala Harris. And there, people are actually telling Arabs to vote for the lesser evil, and telling them, it's the most insulting thing, telling them that these people, the Biden and Harris, who have supplied $22 billion worth of weaponry to a genocidal military that is sanctioned, or rather has been identified as a genocidaire by all international human rights organizations. This is the end of this kind of facade of that we do have international human rights organizations that are going to keep a murderous, psychotic, immoral army, and cowardly army, which every time it confronts an actual part of the axis of resistance, retreats to bombing civilians, because that's what they're good at. This is the only station where you're going to hear this kind of frank analysis. And if you want to sustain us, again, there are several ways where you can support us. You can call 202-588-9739 and make a donation to the Shayonana show. You can also go to WPFWFM.org and make a donation there, and make sure you go to the donate button on that site, because some of you listen to it, to this program, in terms of the national audience and the international audience that listens to it, listen to this program online. And, you know, we're on all kinds of platforms, including Apple, at least the show is, in terms of Apple podcasts. You can also bookmark Apple Podcast, the Shayo Nana show, so that it'll remind you every week to listen in. But you can also go to, again, WPFWFM.org. And another option is you could do Cash App WPFW, make a donation there. Again, the number is 202-588-9739, or you can go to WPFW dot org, or you can also go to Cash App $WPFW and make a donation and earmark it for the Shayo Nana show.
We want to
And
make sure to let them know, Zane, that they can
yes.
also go to the website, click the Donate Now button at wpfwfm.org.
Yes. Yeah, I missed the FM. Thank you for the reminder.
Oh, you.
WPFWFM.org. Yeah, and then you go to the Donate button, and then you scroll down to the Shayo Nana show and make a donation there. And we have a modest goal of, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, around $600.
Well, it's well, look, I don't we want $600, but our goal for today is $500. But you know, we're not going to
$500.
turn down another 100. And we've already got one. We've got Anonymous in Silver Spring made a generous donation via our website at wpfwfm.org. So thank you so much. We have a huge Anonymous family supporting WPFW, and we thank each and every one of them.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that donation. And we'll move on. I'll be coming back with another pitch later, but it doesn't mean that you can't make a donation while we're providing you with this very rare programming and analysis. And for now, I wanted to share a short piece in terms of the analysis that I just spoke about that's more eloquent than me. And because I'm, as you might imagine, as my country's being bombed with US weaponry, I have to check in on my family every morning to make sure everybody's still alive. That's how we're living these days. So I haven't been the most articulate because I trip up on my anger, but there are people like Grady Francis, who we just heard, talking about why she stays in Beirut and reports on what's going on, because she's been through that before and she will stay and to report the truth. Another person that's reporting the truth, and we're about to hear the short clip from, as he calls himself, Jesse the Mechanic, who's one of my favorite anti-Zionist Jews, who has been reporting on what's happening and who has had like millions around the world an awakening around this issue. And this he this is Jesse the Mechanic talking about the Biden ultimatum that he just gave Israel.
The Biden administration has announced that the Israeli government has 30 days to allow the flow of humanitarian aid back into Gaza, or we will stop some of our military assistance to Israel. While this might seem like a significant step in the right direction, I am sorry to report that it is not. It could have been if we followed our own laws, but we don't. What this statement does, first of all, this statement ignores the myriad other war crimes currently being committed by the Israeli government: the targeting of civilians, the bombing of schools, hospitals, ambulances, refugee camps, the killing of humanitarian aid workers, of healthcare workers, of journalists, the use of chemical weapons. None of that is even mentioned. But even if we completely ignore that whole collection of war crimes and focus only on the one war crime that the Biden administration is acknowledging, what they are doing in this statement is they are saying Israel is committing war crimes, and we are only going to continue to directly and unconditionally support those war crimes for another 30 days. When you actually sit back and think of this statement, it's fucking insane. It's even more insane because it's an acknowledgement that we're breaking our own laws, because the Leahy Law prohibits the United States from providing military aid to anyone who is violating international law. This statement admits Israel is violating international law, but it doesn't follow that up. This is just a coincidence, but that 30-day mark lands beyond the presidential election. So while I really wish this was a step in the right direction, it's not. Because people are being starved to death and killed and murdered now. They don't have 30 days. They need help now. They need the most powerful nation on the planet Earth, the people who are directly funding, arming, and supporting this genocide, to use their power to stop it and save their lives now. It as something significant. That's all it is.
So that was Jesse the Mechanic talking about the Biden ultimatum. And the second clip I wanted to share with you really explains what happens when these medics go right now. For the first time, we're getting mass reports from medics, American medics, that are traveling to Gaza and discovering that, for example, that there's so many children. By the way, 70%, over 70% of the casualties right now in Gaza are women and children. Again, the blood of these women and children, the thousands that have been killed, the blood of these children are on the hands of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. But Joe Biden, who doesn't even know most of the time where he's sitting, but knows to how to support this genocide and send an endless pipeline, a pipeline that doesn't seem to empty, of weapons and 2,000 pound bombs that are now bombing my country, bombing a village where the mayor was meeting with people to see how they can help the already injured. And when people gather in South Lebanon to collect the dead and the wounded, Israel comes and bombs them again. This is all sanctioned by Kamala Harris. This is all sanctioned by Joe Biden. Deal with that. Deal with that horror. And history is going to judge not just them, but judge anyone that was a good German at this time. What I mean by good German are these people who stood aside and said, this has nothing to do with me. This has to do everything with you. As we know, $8 billion that was a shortfall for FEMA in the same week where they couldn't save Asheville and couldn't save three different parts of the country that were underwater. They instead gave it to Israel. That's where the reality right now. It has something to do with you. It has to do, and you will be judged. And I know people like AOC who basically betrayed us. I used to actually give donations to that coward, and she recently is now pretending that she's a critic of Biden. And it's a little bit too late, AOC, a little bit too late. In the interim, tens of thousands of people have been killed while you minced words when you talked about this. This is no time to mince words. This is no time to be complacent. This is the time for action. This is the time for you. This is the opportunity for you to save your soul and be active. Figure out what demonstration to attend. Figure out what direct action you can make. Figure out what meeting you can disrupt. Figure out what city council meeting you can stand up and confront them, especially here, which where our city council is stacked with Zionists. This is what this is about. So these medics basically have written to the New York Times that have returned about what's happening, what they saw. And as they return, surprisingly, the New York Times for the first time publishes actually a factual story about what's happening in Gaza. And the opinion piece that was published was co-signed by over 60 medics that were there. And the way the article starts is with one doctor saying that he saw head wounds that he's never seen before in all of his interventions. In terms of all the places of crisis that he has gone into, and never seen anything like this. So he reports to another medic, another doctor who had just returned from Gaza, and surprise, surprise, the other doctor tells him he's never seen so many kids shot in the head. And New York Times was in a controversy because they rightly didn't publish the pictures of the kids with those head wounds, fatal head wounds, because they, you know, it would be too much for the audience to see it. But I think America should see it on their own, if you can, to see the bullet that you're buying with your tax dollars, where it's going. So with that, I'm gonna let's listen also to another short clip of a medic on CNN that exposes the complicity of US media in this and what's really going on in the ground.
It does. What do you think is going to happen with this humanitarian crisis, with the additional factor of Gaza is about to enter the winter, which often brings heavy rain to the region?
Kate, in all honesty, a humanitarian crisis is what you deal with when you have a hurricane, what you deal with when you have an earthquake. You have an insult and a humanitarian response. This is my career. This is what I do for a living. Every single person who does this for a living will tell you the same thing. This is different. This is not a humanitarian crisis. Kate, and I'm going to say it very clearly for your viewers to hear, this is genocide. When 70% of the population that are killed are women and children, when the population is starved of food, of water, of medicine, when you have attacks, repeated attacks on all the hospitals, the clinics, the aid distribution sites, the humanitarian aid agencies that try to help, more UN workers have been killed in Gaza than in UN's history. When you have over 900 families that have been exterminated, that have been taken off of the civil registry, killed, when you have over 17,000 children that have lost one or both parents, when you have bakeries, aid distribution sites, churches, mosques, schools, and in the last 3 days, in the last 24 hours, in fact, a hospital today that was bombed, as you just reported, the hospital where I personally was working, and I can tell you, they are working every second of every day to try and sustain life when Israel's strategy and evidence on the ground suggests that they're doing the exact opposite. They were targeted today. There was a rehabilitation hospital, a rehabilitation center that was targeted in the last 24 hours. And there was an orphanage that was targeted earlier this week. These are the types of places that are being targeted. And so it's really hard to hear it over and over and over again framed in the way that it's being framed in the media, which frankly, Kate, is very misleading. It is very misleading. 365 days of this, death tolls that are so far outdated, we have no idea how many people are killed, but I am genuinely afraid about what we're going to find out when the dust settles. History books will be written on this. And countries will have to reckon, media agencies will have to reckon with their major role in the genocide of an entire population and in the destruction of humanitarian law.
And that was a medic that was talking about on CNN about what she saw and what and how history will be judging the United States government for what it's doing. We have, you know, representatives that are openly talking about the extermination of Palestinians and no consequences whatsoever. The other day, even at American University, students, a dozen or so students, were mourning the dead by reading the names of the dead. In 3 hours, they had only reached to the three-year-olds that have been killed, meaning it took 3 hours to read just from zero, meaning the infants that were killed by Israel using U.S. weapons, and until the age of three. So they were reading three-year-olds when they were stopped by American University. The American University Administration actually stopped these students from mourning their own dead. That's the state of higher education right now. That's the state of our government right now. It both criminal institutions that have to be dealt with in the wake of this genocide. And with that, again, I want to remind you that we're in fundraising time, and I want to remind you that you can donate to the show and sustain it. Again, you can only hear this kind of reporting and this kind of truth on here, on this show, on this station, and also on Democracy Now! And Amy Goodman every morning starts us with the real news that's happening, and that is absolutely the truth about what's going on. If you want to sustain this program, if you want to sustain the station and programs like Democracy Now! During a time when the truth is more precious than ever, I would urge you to get on the phone and call 202-588-9739. Again, 202-588-9739. And also another way you can donate, and I know there's national and international listeners to this show because they write to me. You can go on WPFWFM.org. Again, it's WPFWFM.org. Go to the donate button, scroll down to the Shinana Show, and make a donation there. We have a very modest goal of $500, thanks to the folks who have already made a generous donation. And I hope that you'll take the time for the rest of the show to make those donations. Another way that you can make a donation is to go to Cash App go to $WPFW. That's $WPFW.
FM. $WPFWFM is... Yes. The Cash App.
I keep forgetting the FM. Thank you.
It's quite all right. That's what I'm here for, to help remind the audience. One, that you do a wonderful program each and every week. You bring us information that we definitely are not hearing in mainstream media. They are finally, some of them, in a kind of around the way, seem to be getting wind that how horrible what is happening in Gaza truly is.
Yeah, but what I'm hearing it too, yeah.
You know, we're finally starting to hear that. But you and other people here at WPFW, including Democracy Now!, have been talking about it from the beginning. And we here at WPFW, and on your show in particular, really explore the human cost, to talk to individuals on the ground, to really speak of the actual human cost of what is happening and what it truly means to be in these areas at this time and the true loss of life that is happening. And so thank you for that. I know the audience thanks you for that. And if you are out there listening and you appreciate this program, if you appreciate this information that you are receiving, if you appreciate the source of that information, not only Zane, but WPFW for bringing him to you, we ask you to please make your generous donation now. You'll become a sustainer for as little as $10 a month, but that makes a huge difference here at WPFW. 202-588-9739 or WPFWFM.org.
And I'm sure everybody's getting these texts right now about campaign donations for various people. The best investment that you can make is a $10 a month donation, which barely is the price of a cup of coffee these days. But to make a donation to this will bring the truth to your world more than any politicians will. So instead of making that donation to politicians that have never met their promises, we promise you that we'll always tell the truth, that we'll always expose what's going on, and we will do it consistently and not try to kind of gentle it, as the Palestinian poet said, don't gentle it. Don't talk about bullets as if they're stray bullets. There are no stray bullets. There are stray cats, but no stray bullets that are killing our children right now. So with that, again, I want to run down all the ways that you can make a donation and then go to the next analysis that I wanted to share with you. One way is to call 202-588-9739 and make a donation to the Shy Nana Show. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know who's listening. And another way is to, for those of you who listen online, you can go to WPFWFM.org, go to the donate button, scroll down to the Shy Nana Show, and make a donation to the Shy Nana Show. And lastly, you can go to Cash App right now on your phone and make a donation to $WPFWFM. That is $WPFWFM, and make a donation there.
And I want to say thank you really quickly to Natalia in Washington, D.C., who made a very generous donation via our website at WPFWFM.org. So thank you, Natalia, and thank you again to Anonymous in Silver Spring. We have $325 to go to meet our goal today.
Excellent. Thank you. And next, we're going to hear an analysis by one of my favorite commentators hailing from Australia, which I listen to almost daily. Her name is Caitlin Johnston, and this is about Biden's ultimatum that he's made to Israel and what it's really about. So let's listen to Caitlin Johnston.
Another phony Biden PR stunt about humanitarian aid in Gaza. The Biden administration is performing another PR stunt about getting humanitarian aid into Gaza as Election Day approaches. The White House has given Israel a 30-day notice that it needs to improve humanitarian conditions in the Gaza Strip or risk losing military aid, a deadline which you will notice conveniently falls after U.S. Election Day on November 5th. Rather than releasing this information itself, the Biden administration published it in its customary manner by laundering it through Axios as a letter that was obtained by the outlet and its Israeli intelligence insider, Barak Ravid, thereby framing this as a news story and not a White House press release. Not only does the 30-day deadline fall after Election Day, it falls after Israel's planned attack on Iran in response to Iran's retaliatory missile strike on Israel. Anonymous officials have told the Washington Post that Israel will be launching this attack before the election in the U.S. This narrative the Biden administration is trying to insert into public consciousness is already falling apart. The Washington Post's John Hudson reports via Twitter, quote, Biden's spokesman at the White House and State Department declined to say the U.S. will restrict U.S. arms sales to Israel if it continues to block aid, raising doubts for some about the seriousness of the U.S. warning, end quote. Hudson also cited the analysis of former senior Biden administrator Jeremy Conendike, now the president of Refugees International, regarding this development. Quote, after the past year, Netanyahu will be understandably skeptical that Biden will put real teeth behind this sort of warning. He has blown through every guardrail the U.S. has tried to erect, and has done so with total impunity so far, end quote. If this was a real thing with real teeth, and not an incredibly cynical 11th-hour election ploy, it would have happened a full year ago. As with all words the U.S. government releases about Israel, it can be safely ignored without missing out on anything of value. The Biden administration's actions speak for themselves, and have done so for a year. Ignore their words. Watch their actions. If you just look at the material actions of the U.S. government and Israel and mentally mute all their mountains of verbiage about it, you simply see a big country pouring weapons into a little country who uses them to attack its neighbors. If you tune out all the words expressing concern for the people of Gaza about how Israel must do more to get humanitarian aid to civilians and try to kill fewer people, about how sad and tragic and unfortunate this whole thing is, but it's also very important that Israel have the ability to defend itself, and plus Hamas and Hezbollah are hiding behind civilians and blah, 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 blah. If you tune out all that and just look at the raw data of what's happening, you just see a state raining hellfire on civilian populations packed full of children and using siege warfare to starve hundreds of thousands of people. Ignore their words and watch their actions. That's how you sort out fact from fiction in an information environment that's saturated in propaganda and manipulation. Not just with Israel, but with everything. Watch where the war machinery is going, where the money is going, and where the resources are going. And ignore all the words about why it makes perfect sense for this to be happening. Do this, and you'll have an infinitely better understanding of what's going on in the world than you could ever hope to glean from watching CNN or Fox News. This is a great way to see through the manipulations in your personal life as well. If you're in a relationship with someone who keeps letting you down in various ways and always has sensible-sounding reasons for doing so, but when you look at where the resources and/or relaxation and/or pleasure are going in your relationship, you see it's mostly going toward your partner, that tells you what's really going on there. It tells you you're in an unequal and exploitative relationship, regardless of what words they use to explain why they keep getting their way at your expense. Manipulators understand that you can trade words for real material benefits. Say the right words in the right way, and you can get people to agree to let you commit mass atrocities. You can get them to give you control over their material circumstances. You can get them to consent to wildly unfair economic and political systems. You can persuade them to let you destroy the biosphere they depend on for survival. You can get them to give you power, money, sex, egoic gratification, whatever it is you're after, just by saying the right words in the right way. And that's basically our entire problem as a species right now. That's why the world looks the way it looks. A few clever manipulators have figured out how to use mass-scale psychological manipulation to get us to trade away real material benefits for empty narrative fluff. Quo has been permitted to exist by people who vastly outnumber the few who benefit from it. This will keep happening until humanity becomes a conscious species. To become a conscious human is to awaken from the trance of the believed narratives in your skull and begin perceiving life as it truly is. The difference between our mental stories about how life is happening and how it really is could not be more different, which is why manipulators are able to extract so much benefit from manipulating our mental stories about how life is happening. Manipulators will always have the ability to do this until we make the necessary adaptation as a species from believing mental narratives to perceiving life as it truly is. Every species eventually hits an adaptation or extinction juncture as its conditioning runs into changing material realities on this planet. We're at ours right now, and unlike other species who have gone extinct before us, our own behavior is responsible for the changing material realities we are running up against. Since our behavior at mass scale is being driven by mass-scale psychological manipulation via the most sophisticated propaganda machine that has ever existed, in order to see a change in the way humans behave on this planet, we're going to have to see a mass-scale shift in our species' relationship with mental narrative. It is possible for an individual to stop imbuing their mental chatter with the power of belief and start seeing life as it is. And if it is possible to do this individually, it is possible to do it collectively as well. We all have this potentiality sleeping within us. It will either awaken and carry us beyond the adaptation or extinction juncture we now face, or we will go the way of the dinosaur. That's where we're at right now. We have the freedom to go either way.
That was Caitlin Johnson providing us with an analysis. This is read by Tom Foley, providing us an analysis of what's going on. And this is an existential issue, not just for the Lebanese and the Palestinians and the Yemenis and the Iraqis. This is an existential issue for Americans. If the U.S. government is allowed to conduct that kind of violence overseas, do you think that they'll have more humanity when it comes to its own citizens? The kind of embrace of its citizenry only happens every 4 years when everybody pretends to be your friend. And they break every promise, just like Biden has done in the past 4 years. But I wanted to, before I make my last pitch, I wanted to say that everybody should read Noura Erekat's 5 things we've learned since October 7th. And among them, for one, that we've learned in the past year that October said that what this genocide has exposed the enduring colonial nature of international law. When Iraq defied 2 UN resolutions, they were attacked and hundreds of thousands murdered and starved and killed and sanctioned, etc. So right now, for those of you who don't know, Israel has defied, as of today, 61 UN resolutions and with no consequences whatsoever. In fact, it has called, Netanyahu used a UN telephone while he was at the UN Nation to call for a strike that killed 150 Lebanese. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about that now these international human rights organizations have been completely destroyed in terms of credibility by the United States and Israel. And this is the second thing Noura Erekat wanted you to know, that this is a U.S. genocide of Palestinians. In the first 6 days of Israel's campaign, the Biden administration sent it 6,000 bombs. This week, it has sent 50,000 tons of weapons, causing the equivalent of 3 atomic bombs dropped on a besieged population, denied safe quarter and any means necessary for survival. And the third thing we've learned in the past year, and this has impacted me personally, on top of the fact that the genocide has impacted me personally as a Lebanese, but as a professor in higher education, you know, I've come to the conclusion that Noura has, I mean, we already suspected this, but we never knew it was to this extent, and that is that universities are an extension of the state's coercive apparatus. We have witnessed universities being the greatest source of harm to the students and faculty in April. Several police officers piled on its Washington University professor, Steve Tamarif, as an example. He was punched, body slammed, kicked, and dragged, and so on and so forth. What has become clear is that rather than being the site of knowledge production and dissent, the university is an extension of a coercive state apparatus. And we've seen even tenured professors who tried to add the Palestinians to indigenous people analysis that they were doing for Native Americans, even being fired in this, what I call the new McCarthyism that has infected every university. The fourth thing is that Zionism has no moral legs to stand on. Though we have failed to stop genocide, we have made plain the moral bankruptcy of Zionism. Though Israel really takes the most credit for that, Israeli state and society have told us that for them to feel safe, they must depopulate the Gaza Strip to, quote, quote, finish the job. Israeli society is calling for more rape, more killing, and they're mocking Palestinians who are starving and being shredded apart. Its soldiers are flexing on killing babies, blowing up mosques as wedding announcements, and wearing the lingerie of women forced as an expression of their masculinity. And lastly, the last point is that racism and power, the invisibility of power of the Palestinians, that racism is doing tremendous work in this moment to prime audiences for mass slaughter of Palestinians and to invisibilize our power. It is this racial framing which also makes Palestinians appear as a redundant population that can be expended. So this is on Mondo Wise, if you want to read Noura Erekat's 5 points that she makes about what we learned in last year. And back to our fund drive, I will make one last pitch and we'll listen to music, because in better days, when we weren't so overwhelmed with information about what's going on, we usually play music, and it's really important part of us, part of the show, because this show is about the preservation of Arab culture and specifically Palestinian culture and music and art, and that's because it's when a colonial power such as the U.S. and Israel take over a country, they don't merely stop at geographical acquisition. They go beyond that into cultural acquisition, meaning claim everything that belongs in its culture, whether it's food or music or other traditions as their own. So it's not enough for them to occupy us geographically. They want to occupy us culturally, and that's been happening ever since Napoleon invaded Egypt. And as we talk today, right now, Code Pink is at Trader Joe's down the street on 14th Street here in Washington, D.C., protesting, trying to force them to stop selling Israeli products, which is a spot-on thing. Nobody should use Trader Joe's until they do abide by this smallest of humanitarian gestures. So with that, I wanted to remind everybody that we're in fund drive and that you can make a donation. A couple of people have already made generous donations, and we're left with approximately $325 to go. If you want to close out that balance, please call 202-588-9739. Again, 202-588-9739, and make a donation to the Shai Manana Show. Another way you can make a donation is you can make a donation online at wpfwfm.org. Again, wpfwfm.org, and you go to the donate button then, and then follow that by scrolling down to the Shai Manana Show and make a donation there for the Shai Manana Show. And lastly, another way we've made it easy for you to donate is using Cash App on your phone, and going to Cash App and making a donation at $WPFWFM. Again, it's $WPFWFM, and it takes as little as $10 on a monthly basis to make you to be a monthly sustainer. So no donations too small, no donation is too large for us here.
And we want to make sure we thank Anonymous in Fort Washington, Maryland. Thank you. As again, Anonymous is a huge supporter of WPFW. And so thank you to Anonymous in Fort Washington. Thank you, Zane, for bringing us this quality program each and every week with this information that cannot be found anywhere else on the radio dial. So thank you for that. And again, as Zane said, 202-588-9739, or donate now at WPFWFM.org to show your support of this wonderful programming and the station that brings it to you, WPFW. And you can also use Cash App. That's $WPFWFM. Every bit makes a difference. We only have $225 to go to meet today's goal. I know we can do it. Five people giving $50 each. We'll be there. You know, give what you can. You know, as they say, give early and give often. And we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we do. I noticed that since we've been reporting on Palestine for the past year during this nightmare of a year that we've had, I've had more people contact me about how essential this information is for them, and it's showing up in the donations today. So please, again, make a donation, and let's close out this $225 balance. And we'll play out the show with a song, with a traditional Palestinian song.
About Jerusalem, the city of my birth and the symbol of sanctity. The next song is Yumam Wail El Hawa, a Palestinian folk song that is typical of the Arab Levant. I've mildly rearranged it to make it more personal. One verse says, I wish my chest were a bridge that you can cross over and be next to me. I dedicate it to all refugees longing for home, for dignity, and for peace. Thank you. Bye.
for WPFW News in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Wednesday, October 16th. Here are some headlines. In election news, Georgia is seeing a record turnout of early voters, with over 365,000 ballots cast across the key battleground state since early voting opened yesterday. Over 340,000 of those ballots were cast in person, according to Georgia's Secretary of State. Another 23,000 absentee ballots have been accepted as of this morning. While early voting is always a popular choice among Georgia voters, the total ballots cast this year on the first day of voting represents a 123% increase compared to the state's previous record. Polls show the race between Vice President Harris and former President Donald Trump is still too close to call, but Democrats generally take such early turnouts as a good omen. Meanwhile, state judges in Georgia are scrutinizing a number of new rules passed by the Trump-backed Republican majority on the state election board. Yesterday, Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney paused a rule that would have required officials to hand count the number of ballots cast at each polling place, criticizing state election officials for approving it so close to Election Day. McBurney said that given early voting in Georgia has already begun, mandatory hand counting would create chaos and delay the election results. McBurney also ruled yesterday that local election officials in Georgia are required to certify results, rejecting a Republican-backed argument that counties could refuse to do so if they had concerns about the voting process. Voting rights groups said the rule would allow rogue county election board members to delay or deny certification of election results, while the state attorney general's office warned the board was likely exceeding its statutory authority. In news from the Middle East, fighting continues in southern Lebanon, where authorities say 16 people, including the local mayor, were killed today by Israeli airstrikes on a municipal building in the city of Nabataya. The local governor told the BBC the strikes hit a meeting of the municipal county's crisis coordination team, while Israel claims it struck dozens of Hezbollah targets in the area. However, no evidence was provided to support that claim, which has been made in other attacks that have killed large numbers of civilians. Also today, Israeli airstrikes hit Beirut's southern suburbs for the first time in nearly a week. In related news, the UN Security Council called an emergency meeting today to discuss the deteriorating humanitarian situation in northern Gaza as Israel tightens a 12-day siege and escalates attacks. In a briefing to the council, Joyce Msuya, acting Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, reported only 3 of the 10 hospitals in northern Gaza are now operational, and those only at a minimum capacity. She also reported no food aid entered northern Gaza from October 2nd entered northern Gaza from October 2nd to October 15th, and all essential supplies for survival are running out.